Welcome, everyone, to the Bookmatic Best Books podcast. We've got a great guest here today, Gunnar Andri, the author of Message from the Middle of Nowhere. So welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Could you please introduce a little bit about yourself? Like, why did you end up writing this book? I think you published it. Which year was it again?
2017.
So why did you publish it at this time in your life? You're from Iceland as well. So just talk a little bit about yourself, where you come from, and why you decided to write the book.
Yeah, the short story, I come from Iceland. I'm an Icelander, and I have been a professional speaker in Iceland now for almost 3 decades, 27 years. Before that, I was in sales and training people, so a bit independent. I have been 27 years, helping company to make a better sales and more better service and that kind of thing. And every time when I made some mistake in my life, when something fail, like a business or whatever, I always explain it to myself that this is okay. This is only going to make my book even better. So maybe this story will help someone else to, if I can stand up on my feet and keep on going and learn something from it, it will make my book better. So I had no choice. This was something I had to do for many reasons, because one of them, if I fail and make this mistake and learn from it, so maybe it can help other peoples to go through life, your struggles, and so that was the reason. And also, I want to speak from my grave.
I mean, I think I noticed your profile on Instagram probably around 2021, if I'm not mistaken, something like that. It's been like 3 years, and one of the things that drew my attention to your book, and of course, as reading through it, I just notice your drive for helping others and notice your drive for pursuing your goals as well and learning as well. Like, you love reading books, which is something I think we also have in common, lifelong learning. So that was one of the biggest things that stood out about your book. So thank you so much for sharing your insights. What you've learned over the years and everything. So, yeah, thank you so much for that. So one thing that I have a question for you about your book, it emphasizes the importance of location. How has your understanding of this concept influenced your personal and professional journey? And what advice do you have for individuals looking to leverage their geographical context for success in life?
Yeah, like I say, sometimes you can work local, but you can think global in many cases, because the whole world is getting so small. So I mean, even if I'm here in Iceland, then we have only about 400,000 people now. So, the location is everything, of course. In many cases, especially when an eruption is going on, then the location is really important, where you're located. Are you close to the eruptions or are you far away from it? Like the first chapter, when the eruption starts, location is everything. But you can use your location as a opportunity or excuse. It's up to you. So many people say, I Come on, I'm just living this small village. I'm living in a small community, few people. For example, I can use this excuse. There's only 400,000 people in Iceland, but that's not my excuse. That's my opportunity. I choose to explain it to myself in that way, if that's something. Yeah, that's my answer, I think.
So how can people like leverage their like what you said that okay, So you've got 400,000 people, which is not much. How would you go about leveraging that opportunity?
In my case, it's like what I do, like writing books. Now the book is in more than 100 countries, and thousands of people are, learning from my experience, not only here in Iceland. And that's if I talk about myself, in this case, I use books to, go from Iceland to the world.
So I think other people could definitely take advantage of their situation, their personal experiences, and share that with other people and help other people grow, just like you have, just like I have, right? And just to add on to that, like over here in Indonesia, I'm a Westerner, and that is quite the experience because most people don't speak English over here. So it's like speaking the language, learning the culture, and sharing those experiences with others has been a huge thing for me. So, so another question for you is like we touched on this just barely earlier, but I want to hear your ideas about stressing the value of continuous learning and belief in one's impact on others. Can you share a specific instance where your commitment to learning had a profound impact on your life, and how can individuals cultivate that mindset?
Yeah, I think to start with, I think this, and I also write about it in the book Message from the Middle of Nowhere, is I like to read personal development books for sure, but I think it's more important that you even just one book and take what you learn from the book and do something about it. It's not enough just to read a lot of books. You have to imply the knowledge, so that is the most important. And one book, if you take the book seriously, can change your life. That's for sure. I know that by myself. When I was starting in selling, I was always reading the same book over and over again, The Art of Selling by Tom Hawkins, and it helped me a lot. Then when I had read that book, I don't know how many times, I took another book and did the same. So you have to read the good books more than once times, I think, and underline it, of course.
That's totally true. I don't think people do that enough, including myself. And I find myself over the years of learning and reading that I tend to revisit the really good books. Revisit those books and reread them because those are the ones that make the most impact and can make it the biggest difference in my life. So I totally agree with that for sure. What book would you do you think you've reread the most?
This is a tough question. I'm not sure. The Art of Selling by Tom Hawkins many times. One book that's not is so well known in the book community on Instagram called Thick Face Black Heart. I don't know how many times I read that book. It's that is book that is don't is this book, little bit different personal development book because it talk about it's not enough to be just a positive. Like I say in my book, there are so many people what I call a motivated idiot. They're just positive, but they have no clue where they are, where they're going, and how they're gonna go there. So yeah, and also 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I read that book many times. Think and Grow Rich. The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale, and the list can go on and on and on and on and on and on. So, I'm always reading the good books again and again, and sometimes I read just the underline, So, yeah.
Yeah, those are the classics, and they are
This is
classics
the classic.
for a very specific reason because they have valuable fundamental insights that we can all learn from. Like, cool, good, good to hear. And like, I love this little stories in your book that you talk about when you used to sell books, basically door to door. That is must have been such an amazing learning experience as well, right? And this was what in your earlier career, right? Correct?
Yeah, many years ago, you know, people many times ask me how old I am because I was working in a supermarket for 5 years. I was in selling books for five years. I was selling, you know, like I was selling vacuum cleaners, you know, home penetration for 7.5 years. You know, I've been 27 years in business to business, you know, selling my seminars yeah, so what can I say?
Yeah, I mean, those are the things that we can learn from. Your book is packed full of like personal anecdotes and insights, and you've got, as you say, decades of experience. So that's one of the things that I really loved about learning from you by reading your book. So thank you so much again. I can say that probably a few times within this episode. So moving from a motivated fool to a master, is that something that you said in your book, something like that? Moving
Excuse
from a motivated fool to a master salesman involves overcoming
me. Yeah.
self-imposed limitations. Could you
Yeah.
elaborate on that pivotal moment where you recognized and overcame a limiting belief within your mind and how that affected you?
Yeah, for example, when I started as a salesperson, I thought I was a great salesperson, like many people think they are. But you know, I just figured out really early I was not as great as I thought. So I started to read all the books I could read and go to all the seminars I could find. And I was buying audio tapes in the old days, you know, the cassette, you know,
Yeah.
older. Yeah, I was buying a lot of them. I don't know how many I have. Then I started to realize that, you know, I didn't know shit. I didn't know anything. The same happens when I started to, you know, with my sales training school. I thought I was really good in this, and that was 27 years old, 27 years ago. But I just found out again that I was not as good as I thought. And today, I feel like I don't know anything, and I'm just in the beginning. You know, so
Yeah.
all this learning. I think we are in a dangerous place when we think we are so good that we cannot, you know, learn something more or, you know, read some more books or go to some more, you know, seminars. And I found out this 27 years that I have been helping company here in Iceland that the best company that they're doing the best, they are hungry for my knowledge. And the best salespeople, they're hungry to come to my seminars even again and again and again. And it's always the same. The best want to learn more.
Yeah.
And the people that think they're so good, they think I don't need it, but they need it really much.
Yeah, there's the famous quote, something about the more you know, the more you realize that you need to learn more. So
Yeah,
yeah.
that's true. It's cliche, but it's true.
Yes, very true. Very true. We can never learn. I mean, we can never run out of things to learn. So yeah, that's
Absolutely.
a great thread throughout your book. I notice is you're continuously mentioning about how big of an impact learning has had on your career and your life. So
Yeah.
good. So your experiences in Iceland, particularly dealing with the unpredictable weather, which you talk about in a few chapters, highlight the importance of adaptability. Can you share a story where a seemingly challenging situation turned into a vulnerable opportunity? And how can individuals develop their opportunities when opportunities arise from difficult situations?
Yeah, I talk about a lot about that in my book, and you know, change your problem into an opportunity. In Iceland, there's for many times I've been planning maybe going to north part of Iceland in some sail trips or west part of Iceland or in some places, and then suddenly there's a, you know, big storm going on, so We are so used to it here in Iceland. We always have to, have this flexibility to be able to change the plan. So, like we say sometimes, okay, I will go there if the weather's allow it me to do it. So, especially in the winter time, and it can be all kind of thing going on. Maybe it's dangerous to go there because of an avalanche or whatever. So, it's just part of the nature. It's part of the culture. So, it's for me, it's really normal.
Yeah, I mean, it's just I learned a whole lot about your country through your book, and that was definitely amazing. So, can you give a specific example, maybe from your book or one that you maybe didn't even share in your book, about where you felt very vulnerable, or maybe you felt very angry? I can recall one from your book where you won the lottery or something like that, right?
Yeah,
Not the lottery, but yeah.
that story. Yeah. When I was in sales trip with Óli Sveinbjörg and Siggi, and they were playing poker on with a coin, and he was cheating, and I was really angry to him because I don't like cheating. It doesn't matter if it's about one coin or big numbers. Big cheating is cheating, and it's like in a business, and when you're playing chess, for example, you cannot cheat. Then you get this game over. And when I bought the lottery ticket, and I was really angry, and the girl that she was a little bit even scared of me when I said, I want this lottery ticket, give it now, because I was pissed because he was cheating in this in the poker game or the game was we were playing with the card, and then suddenly I was scratching the lotto ticket and I won a trip to Europe, so everything's changed in a split second. That's one story. There's a lot of story that I have been many times really disappointed, but in many cases that was the best thing that happened, even when I did not see it at that time. The newest example of this is I was just finishing writing a new book, Message from the Hidden People. Is a totally different story. It's an adventure story. It's a novel. And the guy, the editor, he said, I'm not possible to help you now with the editing for personal reasons, and but we can maybe do it later. And I was really disappointed, but he's really good in that. And we have worked together, and we want to work together again, but not his timing was really bad, and I was really disappointed about it. But now I'm rewriting the book to make it much better, and I'm so glad that he could not do it. So I'm thankful for that, actually, because this will only make my next book even better, because now I'm getting into the book again and rewriting it, and I'm really glad that it was not possible to help me out this time. So even if the book will be published maybe 1 year later, but I don't care because I don't want to put the book on the market if I'm not 1,000% convinced myself that this is a good book.
Yeah, it's amazing how opportunities come to us and sometimes fall through our fingers, but it happens for a reason sometimes. So looks like that could be one of those reasons. This kind of goes into my next question here about mastery. Mastery takes time and it also takes deliberate practice. Could you share your insights on how individuals can maintain motivation and enthusiasm over the long term, especially when faced with setbacks, and why conversing with strangers plays a crucial role in that development?
This is actually a really good question because, so many trainers, they say you have to be positive, you have to do this and you have to do that, and they don't explain it how to do it. So that's the main thing. And how to hold yourself motivated even if the tough things is going on, and what can you do about it? It's many ways to do it. What I do, if I share my experience, if I feel like The sales is going a little bit down. I'm going a little bit down. Everything is not going in the right direction. It seems like that at the time. I go to my books and I take my books and they are all underlined, and I read and I'll take maybe four, five, six, seven, eight, or 10 books and I only read what is underlined because that's the key things. And that give me really quick motivation to, stand up again, and, go through it. So that is one of the easy tricks to do.
Agreed, agreed about that. And books are hugely motivating factors. Whenever I pick up a book, I'm just like, oh, this kind of turns my mind on, especially if I do that right in the morning, maybe when I'm feeling down. Pick up a book or pick up one of the books that I've already read, and like you said, read through the underlines or the main points. So good, good, good. And
Excuse me. I have a one also simple tricks to do that I have teach many people to do it, especially, for example, in sales and in business and in life in general. I mean, try and not try, just work a little bit faster in your house. Go out and work fast because then you're changing your body language, you're changing your behavior. And after you have done that just for a few minutes and go back in the phone, back in what you're doing, you have speed up everything, the system, and your voice and everything will sound differently. It's really easy tricks to do, just, because everybody can walk fast if they want to, most people at least. And you're not even saying anything, you're not even thinking differently, you're just walking faster. And then you go to your project after you've been working fast for some time, few minutes, and you will feel the difference. If you're not right, try it. It works.
Yeah, definitely. One part of the question, or one part of your book, you mentioned about conversing with strangers and that playing a huge, crucial role in your personal development. So, could you explain a bit about that?
Excuse me, I did not
Yeah, like
only.
speaking with strangers, like I know a couple of times you emphasized how conversations with people that you didn't even know turned into opportunities. Yeah, could you like emphasize or maybe give an example of how that works?
This is actually really good tricks, and it's really simple. In many cases, people are afraid of failing, and they're afraid of even maybe public speaking, or they're afraid of, talking to a stranger, especially if they're going to sell something or ask for any order or so. So to exercise this, just start to talk to people anywhere. It doesn't matter where it is. You're cleaning your car, you're taking elevator. It doesn't have to be so much. I mean, just few settings, the weather or whatever, nice car, something simple. What you benefit from it is, you get used to talking to a new people, and you will be, after a few times, a little bit more confident about yourself and open up, the conversation. So that is also other tricks, and you learn a lo lot of it about people also by doing this. So I learned this many, many years ago, from my sales trainer when I was 17 years old, and he's still a good friend of mine. He said, "You're always reading books. You're always, you want to be a great salesman. Exercise yourself by talking to some strange people that you will probably never ever see again in your life, and you don't have to talk about something special, just to open up the question." After you have done that, you will get so much knowledge also about people, and you will be surprised with how much you will benefit from it. So this is a really simple thing to do, especially for people that are a little bit shy, or want to build up the self confidence.
Yeah, definitely. And didn't you also have experiences where you were traveling? I forget where it was, Africa or something like that. Correct me if that's the wrong location, but you met someone there that actually was acquainted or friends with one of your friends in Iceland?
Yeah, actually, that was in Japan.
Japan. Oh,
Oh,
yeah, that's right.
I was jumping on people and said, "I'm from Iceland. Where are you from?" I was just making some joke. I was 18 years old, many years ago, and the funny thing is, when she heard it, "What? Are you from Iceland? Do you know Unnur?" And then we were in the same school and the same class, and I was going to meet her a few days after, when I came from Tokyo and in Japan, and I had to bring a lot of gift to Unnur from this Japanese girl that I was just some girl on the street in Tokyo, and so we never know. It's life can be really strange. And
Yeah. Out of all the people in the world that you just happen talk to the same person that knows your friend, that's quite crazy, right? Yeah. So, obviously, reading your book helps people who are involved in sales, but a bunch of other fields as well, but you've emphasized that sales principles are universal. How do these principles apply across different cultures and countries and even jobs?
The main principle is always the same. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. It's the same. People, never buy anything if they don't want it. The people don't buy it if they don't think they need it. People don't buy it if they don't have any use for it. And people don't buy it if they don't accept the price. And that goes the same all over the world. I have traveled to more than 60 countries, and I know people from all over the world, and I have not found the country yet that don't have this same principle like this, for example. So the basic principle is this: people buy what they want, what they need, what they accept the price, and what they can think they can use. So if people don't want it and don't need it and don't accept the price, doesn't matter where you in the world you are, you're not going to buy the project. If you don't want the book, if you don't need the book, for any reason, you don't need to know something about Iceland or sales or entrepreneurship, and you're not going to read it and cannot even read it because it's in English and that's not your mother tongue or your first language, you're not going to buy it. It's really simple. And people, the same cliche, people buy from people that they trust, like, and respect. It's the same.
So what role does cultivating gratitude how does this contribute to being the sales king, the Viking sales king?
This.
Cultivating gratitude. You mentioned gratitude quite a bit in your at least a few of your chapters.
Yeah.
So how
You
can
know.
individuals balance striving for success along with gratitude, and how does that contribute to how did that contribute, or how does it contribute to your overall success?
It's actually really simple. And I think I said at the end of the book, at least I'm always saying this on the seminars, what you focus on will grow. And if you focus on in gratitude, you will be more grateful for what you have. And then that will bring a lot of things to your life. That will take your unlimited thinking out of the way. And, yeah, so it's really, if you want more, you have to be grateful what you have, I think, at least. So, and everything you focus on will grow. So it's the same, like if you're obviously the excuses, like I say, excuses are for losers only. And if you're always talking about your, excuses, you will see excuses everywhere. So it's really common sense. It's really simple. If you focus on opportunity, great to be grateful. That is what you get. You focus on you don't have money, you will never have money. If you focus on you have this money, it will come to you.
So basically, focus on things that are not going to hold you back. Don't focus on the excuses. Focus on ways that you can move
Yeah,
forward,
solutions.
right?
Solutions. And every problem is a hidden opportunity.
Cool. Good. So, if there's one takeaway from this episode, or from your life, or from your experiences, or from your book that you would like to give to the audience watching and listening right now, what would that be?
My favorite quote in the book and have helped me a lot, and ask. If you don't ask the question, the answer will always be no. So don't be so afraid of asking question. I mean, you maybe get no, and then it's same situation before you was asking. So you will be surprised if you ask a little bit more
I
what will
like that
happen.
example in the book that you gave. I think it was when you were doing the door to doors. No's are not a negative thing, something like that. No's are not a negative thing. It's like you actually should shoot for getting more no's because that means you're also going to get more yeses.
Yeah,
Correct
true.
me if I'm wrong. Is that right?
You get paid for hearing no. That's your job if you're a salesperson. If you make $100 for one sales, and you have to hear 9 times no and 1 times yes, you get $10 for every answer you have. So when people say no, it's not gonna happen, you can say thank you very much. You bring me just $10.
And I think that also prevents us from feeling bad about hearing the no, right? It gives kind of a positive twist to that factor. So cool, good.
Absolutely.
So yeah, kind of just to wrap up the episode here, where can people find you? Where can people buy your book? Like what are you doing right now that might benefit people watching and listening to this episode?
If I have a few minutes, first I want to give a little bit more to the audience and grab a paper and pen and write it down because it's really simple. Like most things in life are simple, but we are making it always so complicated. I talk about 5 steps in success to make it really simple. Number one, you have to think about your attitude. Is it positive or negative? Is it helping you or is it hurting you? The attitude is really important about everything. Can I learn it? And what is my attitude about the situation? Number two, you have to have knowledge. Whatever you're gonna do, gain the knowledge. Be better in what you're doing. But there's not enough have the positive attitude, the knowledge, if you don't take action. That's number three. So taking massive action is so important, even if you start a little in a small way. To take action. People forget that so many times. But then is what is then number four? Number four is maybe the most important. Persistence. Persistence, persistence, persistence. Because it's not enough to have the right attitude, knowledge, and take action if you don't persist. In the end, the fifth step is don't give up. Never. Because that can be habit, and you become the habit. You may probably remember it in the book. First, we make the habit, and the habit become us. So the habit is really, really important. You asked me about where can people find me. It's best to communicate with me on Instagram, Gunnar Andri Thoresson. People can, of course, Google my name, Gunnar Andri. You can see a lot of things if you Google my name. The book is available in all bookstores in Iceland, so you have to come to Iceland or go to Amazon.com.
I mean, totally. Amazon would be one of the best places for people living outside of Iceland.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I really do appreciate you coming on the show. We've talked a lot. We've been engaging with each other on Instagram and everything. So I highly recommend everyone to follow Gunnar Andre on Instagram and other platforms, and also get a hold of his book and read it because it's beneficial for your whole life. So, yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Nice to be here.
All right, everyone. Take care, and we'll see you in the next episode.